I'm Olympic and world champion diver, Laura Wilkinson, and this is the Pursuit of Gold podcast. Each week, we are unlocking the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual tools that help athletes reach their biggest goals in sports. Well, Pursuit peeps, March 8th marks 24 years since I shattered my foot and thought I was watching my lifelong dream slip right through my fingers. And looking back 24 years later, I can tell you that I am so grateful for that day because it changed me forever. Now, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me talk about this part of my story from time to time. But today, I'm bringing back some audio clips from right around that day, from leading up to and right after that accident. See, I had been asked to call in and leave voice messages for NBCOlympics.com from time to time. It was a way for people to keep up with Olympic hopefuls leading up to the 2000 games. And I'm not honestly sure if anyone listened to them back then, but my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, had the presence of mind to download some of those clips. And now that I'm coaching athletes on the mental game, I'm always talking about just making these small, consistent mindset shifts. These small shifts in focus begin to change the way we look at things, which begins to change the way we think about things and even process things, which ultimately changes the way we respond and, yes, perform. So I really wanted to add in these audio clips to show you when I recognized fear and how I processed a bad competition and the way I decided right from the beginning how I was going to handle my injury. Get ready to dive a little deeper with me today. I hope this shows you both that it's normal to have all the crazy feels, but at the same time, it's also possible to walk through those hard moments and seasons with gratitude, determination, and resilience. It's also an Olympic year with Paris looming right around the corner, just a few months away. So if you want to make your big event extra special with some Olympic inspiration, I would love to be your keynote speaker. Contact me for more information at laurawilkinson.com/speaking. That's laurawilkinson.com/speaking. All right, I believe that there's gold in your future, so let's dive on into this extra special episode. The year before the 2000 Olympics, I was finishing my junior year of college at the University of Texas, Hook'em. I had just won my second NCAA title, and everything was going great there. But I had always dreamed of going to the Olympics. And there was not the option to get an Olympic waiver like there is today, where you can kind of redshirt because you're training for the Olympics. That wasn't an option back then. You could only get like a medical redshirt if you were out with an injury. And where I was, and with the Olympics coming, and I didn't know if I made the team, if I would want to keep going, or if I'd want to jump right back into a season, because the Sydney Olympics, since Sydney, Australia is in a different hemisphere, the Olympics were actually moved into late September to allow it to be a little bit warmer there, which it was still like 50 degrees and raining. But anyways, those Olympics were going to be at a different time. And so I didn't know if I would want to jump right back into a season if I continued diving or if I didn't make the team, if I'd even want to keep diving. So I ultimately made the decision to leave my college scholarship after 3 years and come home and train with my club coach, Kenny Armstrong, who I had started with. That way, I thought I could be completely focused, not worrying about school, not worrying about collegiate competition. For me, I thought like you got one shot and this might be it, because most people right after college, they just moved on. They didn't continue diving. There were very few that kept diving into their late 20s at that time. So I thought this might be my only shot. So I wanted to give it everything I had, you know, and be all in and go for it. That was a hard enough decision. I'm questioning what I'm doing because I'm leaving paid for school behind where all my friends are. Everything's going well. That was a tough decision, but the Olympics were so important to me. It's what I wanted to do. But then, you know, my mom was really upset because she wanted to make sure I finished college and got a degree. She didn't want me to have any regrets in that. So kind of talking through things with them, praying about it, you know, we finally decided to kind of take that leap and try it. Like, if this is my only shot, I need to give it everything I have, right? Just put it all on the line. I can go back and finish school later. I will, Mom. I promise I will go back and finish school later. And I did, you guys. I did finish. That was like my first kind of huge life decision, I think, like risking something big in order to go after a dream that I had no idea. I mean, here I am making this huge choice and taking this kind of leap of faith, but then I have no idea if it's going to pay off. I could go down in a blaze of glory or no glory, you know, just failing miserably and still not having a scholarship to go back to. So it was a scary and exciting decision all at the same time. You know, I came home, things were going well. We had a nationals that summer at my home pool, my club pool in the Woodlands, Texas. I did well there, although I did break my thumb on my head on an entry. That's kind of how I started off the year, but things were okay. I thought everything was going to be fine. I just thought that was a funny way to start this Olympic year. So it was like January of 2000, and we were heading into the World Cup, which is in the Olympic pool. It's an opportunity for you to go and be in the Olympic venue, to compete there, to feel what it's like, to get in the vibe, to see where you stack up against your competitors, see where everybody else is at, what tweaks you need to make, you know, things like that. It's a great like checkpoint. You know, I talk to athletes now, since I'm coaching mindset and performance, I talk to athletes a lot about the pressure or intimidation that they're feeling when they're at big events. And I just want you to know that I felt it too. Nobody's immune from that. You know, sometimes we all have that kind of imposter syndrome too. Like it sneaks up on even the best athletes. So I want you to hear this little clip, and pardon me that I do sound like I'm 12 years old. This was a long time ago, but I also got nervous at big events. Sometimes when I shouldn't have been nervous, I should have been way more confident. Sometimes we feel the feels, you know? So here we go.
I guess another little lesson I learned in the last few days is the second day we got here, and I did some 3-meter, and maybe it was a little jet lag, maybe I was just a little nervous with all the foreign people, all the world champions and Olympians, and it's a little intimidating at times, and I would think that I didn't do enough international meets to realize that, but when I got in, the first thing I was focusing on was how slippery the boards were and how scared I was, and I couldn't do a hurdle.
Now, besides realizing that I sound super, super young, I was 22, I do love that I recognize there's a problem, that I'm voicing the fact that I'm scared and I'm focusing on these negative things. Like I could just tell my mindset was going in a downward spiral and that wasn't okay. So it's okay to have those thoughts. It's okay that they pop into your mind. That is normal. But the key is to catch it, to recognize that it's happening. Because if you don't realize what's happening and it spirals out of control, it's really hard once it spirals to backtrack and get to a good place in your head. So starting to recognize when you're having those negative thoughts is really, really key. So what I want you to hear in the next clip is that although I was spewing all these things going wrong and the things that I was scared of for whatever reason, I did do something about it, and I did try to reset how I was thinking about things. So check this one out.
I kind of reevaluated that workout and went outside, enjoyed a sunset, had a little chat with God, and kind of realized that there's nothing to be afraid of. And I'm here because I enjoy what I do, not because I'm scared of these people, not because I really want to beat these people, but just because I'm here to enjoy myself, and I love to dive, and I love what I do. And it's just so great to be with people that enjoy the same things and want the same things and to get to know people. And it's just an exciting time.
Something that's really key here is, like I said, I recognized what was happening. I recognized where my mind was going and I wanted to catch it before it spiraled. So I kind of set aside some time. I love quiet time. I love going to have time with God and assess my feelings and walk through that with Him. That is my spiritual walk. But to just kind of have that reality check. And I took a step back, you know, because sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. And I was in the trees thinking about all these negative things. So I took a step back so I could see the forest and find that gratitude, that thankfulness in there, that I was really excited I could be trying to do this thing that I love and doing it with other people who were motivated like I was and wanted the same things that I did. And that felt really special to me at that time. And so I was taking myself out of my anxious, nervous state, and I was filling myself with gratitude, just loving where I was in the journey. And that's sometimes really hard to do when we're in a negative spin. So I really encourage you, if you don't journal, maybe even just write some things down that if you are feeling that way, you can replace those thoughts with thankful thoughts. Because If you've ever heard me talk about this before, anxiety and gratitude are processed in the same area of your brain. So if you are focusing on gratitude, you are not letting the anxiety in. If you're focusing and letting your mind go to all the anxious thoughts, you're not focusing on the gratitude and the thankfulness. You can't really be in both places at once. So shift to that attitude of gratitude, and it will really change the way you are looking and thinking about things. In the next clip I want to share, it's a little bit longer, and it's right after the World Cup. That was my opportunity to compete in the Olympic pool, to kind of see my competitors, to try and do well in there and kind of measure up and see where I stood, you know, against everyone going into this Olympic Games, this big dream, you know. And you just heard me, like, I was battling some doubts and fears, but I calmed myself down. Like, I was focusing on gratefulness and thankfulness instead. And I kind of pulled myself into a better headspace. But the meet didn't go well. It didn't just not go well. It was horrendous. I still to this day am not sure what happened. I think God just orchestrated this whole year of my life, because none of it was as I saw or made sense in a lot of ways to me. But I learned a lot. This clip is me processing after I returned back home after this, what I called the worst meet of my life.
Hi, it's Laura Wilkinson. It's Monday, January 31st, and we're back in the States. I just wanted to give you a little last thought, since the meet's over and I'm sure you've gotten the results, and they're probably not what you expected. I can guarantee you they're not what our team expected. I think we were all hoping for a little bit more. It was a little disappointing, and I was probably one of the bigger disappointments of that meet. At least from my standpoint, I can honestly say I expected to do better. I felt more ready than that. I wasn't nervous, and I'm honestly not sure what happened. I just couldn't pull it together. But, you know, there's a couple of paths we could decide to take from here. And I mean, it would be really easy to make excuses and to maybe feel bad about what happened or feel sorry for ourselves, or, you know, it's really easy to get sucked into that train of thought. I know everybody's done it in a lot of different aspects of life. It's really easy to do, but I'm not going to do that. You know, been through some bad times, and, I don't know. I guess whenever I look at this meet, whenever I think about it, it's going to make me work 10 times harder. Whenever I think about what happened, it's going to make me want it 10 times more. And whenever I look to the future, maybe I'll be 10 times closer. And you just got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get back out there. I don't know. I think for me right now, this is more of a motivation, and I'm going to get better. I'm going to get out there, and I'm working 10 times harder at it. And I don't know, never give up. That's the only thing I can tell you. Never, ever give up. That's when you fail, and we're not done. So hopefully in the future, there will be more happy news.
So I sugarcoated my feelings about the meet, since I had no idea who was going to be listening to those clips. You can tell I was a little confused. Like, I don't even know what happened. I wasn't nervous. Like, I felt better. I had righted my mindset, and I still dove like a hot mess. That was not usual for me. My very first international world meets, I did very well at. So that was not a normal experience for me to have a bad meet on the world stage. And I had felt prepared for it. It took me a while to process that. And actually, I mean, I can tell you, I still don't know what happened at that meet, but it led to the next steps, which were very important and instrumental on my journey. So even though I felt embarrassed and I was confused, and even when I felt utterly defeated, I was absolutely determined that I would never lose this one thing that I also mentioned in this clip following that World Cup meet.
There's one thing these people will remember. They might not remember my great diving or me being on the top of the podium, you know, and they may not remember me slamming on anything or something like that, but they'll remember my smile. I didn't lose that.
After that sting of defeat, that pain there, I'm still trying to focus on what I had, that I had my smile. I didn't lose my smile. I wanted to keep that intact because I felt like I wasn't totally defeated if I could keep smiling. The next thing I shifted to was, again, taking that step back and being grateful, finding those things that I could be thankful for.
I stand back and look at what I have and, man, be so thankful for it. It kind of makes life a lot simpler, knowing where you come from and what you've had to do, and maybe it makes your challenges not look so hard, but makes you respect others a little bit more.
And I think it's important to note here that I'm not making excuses, or I'm not validating that it's okay to not do well. My goals were huge and I had big aspirations. So I was very upset with how I did. I wasn't saying my performance was okay, but what I was doing was realizing that it was more than just my performance. I recognized that even though I had very big self-esteem issues and other things going on, I still recognized that there was value in who I was and in my life outside of the pool. And sometimes as elite athletes, or even just whatever level athlete, just as a competitive athlete, we can get caught up in who we are and that nothing else matters outside of what that clock says at the end, or what place we are on the podium, or what our score is at the end of the meet. And that's just not true. And so recognizing that although you may not be happy with the competition, there is more to life than that competition, and that you can learn from that competition and grow as both an athlete and a human being is very important. Switching gears a little bit, following the World Cup, we were back at home. We're working really hard. We've got some more competitions to kind of tune things up, tweak things a little bit, see if we're improving at all. And then the accident happens. This is a little bit longer clip leading up to what happened at the accident and how I'm initially handling it.
Hi, this is Laura Wilkinson. I do have an update for you, although it might not be the one you want to hear. But we're in Fort Lauderdale right now. We were here for the Sunshine Invitational. It's supposed to happen this weekend. We just came from Germany last week, a meet in Rostock. I didn't dive too well, but, you know, I've been working hard and I fixed a few things and was feeling pretty good coming into this meet. I had hit my heel a few weeks ago on the dry land platform and was just getting back on the springboard and felt pretty good about 2 days ago. I got all my dives off. Yesterday, my coach arrived and it's beautiful out here, sunshiny outdoors, kind of like home. And during the warm-up before we got in the water, I hit my feet again on the dry land platform. But this time it's a little worse. They don't think it's fractured, but if the swelling doesn't go down in a couple more days, they're going to take some x-rays. And I have crutches to hop along back and forth to the pool right now. Going to have my abs of steel, I guess. It's really frustrating where I am right now. Kind of had this plague of injuries for about the past year, and it's really frustrating because one gets better and something else seems to come along. And I don't know, sometimes it's just... it's really hard to take with a good attitude. I don't know. I keep thinking of my options, and I could really easily just feel like this isn't my year. Things aren't going well. I don't know what's going on. Just giving up and whatever. But that's just not me. And I don't think I can do that. I don't know when this is going to get better, when I can get back in the pool. It's only 3.5 months to trials. And I think I could really, really easily just lose it right now. But I don't see that happening. I honestly don't think that God would put me in a position that I couldn't handle, because I know a lot of people know this phrase, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've always said that before all my dives. I don't know, I guess things are transferring over into real life too. And sometimes that's a really hard thing to do, but I'm learning how. And, you know, I don't think I'm one to lose faith in God or in myself. And I don't care if this had happened a week before Olympic trials, I would find a way to get back up there. Hopefully I'll be back up there soon enough and I'll have better updates for you.
Ooh, yeah. Sometimes these are hard to listen to. I mentioned having several injuries over the last year. The year before at NCAAs, I was dealing with some major wrist pain. I was struggling with injuries. It was actually the first time I kind of visualized a little bit was at that competition, and it was really beneficial. Didn't know how big that would play into this next year. I also, like I mentioned earlier, broke my thumb right when I had come back home and competed at nationals. So just kind of, it seemed like one thing would heal and something else would happen. And I had a series of tough years losing a lot of people that I was very close to, family members and friends. Very difficult couple of years in multiple ways. But also, you can see that I was very hopeful that there wasn't much going on with this accident. I was hoping it wasn't a big deal, that we were just going to find out, you know, I was going to be back in the water soon. But I knew that it was really bad. Since I didn't have any official word, I was just hanging on to that thread of hope. But I was in excruciating pain. And, you know, there was a bone wedged underneath my foot. I broke the three middle metatarsals of my foot, and one of those bones lodged itself underneath. And so I could feel that. I knew it wasn't right, even though it was really swollen. I was in excruciating pain. I couldn't sleep. I think this next clip, it's kind of hard for me to listen to without crying, even still 24 years later, because in the midst of all of that, this is truly where my head and my heart were firmly planted from that moment through the Sydney Olympic Games. So here is one last thought.
I just had one more thought to add. I think everybody needs to know that things don't always go the way they should, but it is always for the best. Every cloud really does have a silver lining. Whether you believe it or not, if you open your eyes, you'll find it. And sometimes it gets a lot cloudier than other times. And sometimes it rains for many, many days. But I think the important thing to remember, especially for me right now, is that it may be really dark and cloudy right now, but I tell you what, when the sun comes out, and it will, when it comes back out, it's going to be so much more beautiful, and it will mean so much more to me than it probably has before. There will be rainbows, and I think it will show me that God was there in the good time and the bad. And I think that is something that everybody needs to remember, because those are the things that get you through the rough times and make the good ones even better.
It's easy to say inspiring stuff and work really hard when things are going well, and when things, like, you're healthy and things are just kind of normal and easy in that sense. And that still doesn't make it an easy journey. But when you're dealing with something really hard, to try and see that there might be a silver lining in it is not easy. But what I have learned because of that day, because of that accident, was that every obstacle that we face, there is an opportunity inside of it, but we have to be willing to find it. And that's the hard part, is you have to be willing to dig your heels in and try to go under, over, around, through, right through the middle, somehow to find that opportunity. You shouldn't go through it alone. We have coaches, and we have teammates, and we have support systems. And if you don't, you need to surround yourself with those. Because I recognize that even as an individual athlete, even when you see me there standing up on the 10 meter all by myself, I never got there on my own. I had a team. I had a coach. I had people who picked me up when I was down. I mean, through all of this, from this point on, I obviously couldn't normally train. Like, they told me they were going to have to re-break all the bones in my foot and pin them together for it to be ready to go. And that would put me out of trials that was, you know, 3 months away. So I decided to cast it the way it was and hope that we could walk on it, maybe jump off of it. So those next months were very difficult and very full of uncertainty. And I was employing every outside the box thing that I could do, because I couldn't be in the water doing the one thing I needed to do. So I would do every physical thing I could possibly do with one leg. But then I was having my coach hold my crutches, and I would hop all the way up to 10 meter on my one good foot and shimmy my way out to the end and model all the actions of my dives and visualize and sit up there and think through meet scenarios. And I would study videos, and I would sit on the deck and look up and pretend to watch myself like I was watching a video. And I was just trying to employ anything that I could think of, anything that I had heard of people doing or seen people do. And I was just making up stuff on the fly because I had no other choice. In doing so, I actually ended up preparing myself better than I ever could have had I been in the water just physically training, because now I was training my mind to prepare for any possible scenario and be ready to handle it. So while I didn't like being sidelined, I didn't really particularly like doing all this mental training. It was exhausting. I didn't have the endurance for it. I had to build up the endurance for this mental training. A lot of people will try visualization or something for like a day and it's hard, and so they just don't ever do it again. Like, you have to build up that endurance just like you do for your sport. While I didn't want to do that, I was forced to do that. I was like, if this is the one thing I can do, I'm doing it 100%, because I don't have another option. And I didn't know if I would have another shot at this. And I didn't want to look back in 5 years and say, wow, I wonder if I had tried, if I could have done it. I would rather try and fail than to always live with that regret and that knowing and that asking myself, what if? That to me was more torture. You know, there were moments along that time. Don't think that I just set my mind and it was perfect the rest of the time. And I just had this great attitude the whole time. No, 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 no. I mean, I was in a cast for like 10 weeks, different casts, like three different casts or something, you know, and when I got it off, I only had like 2.5 weeks till trials. Like it was a very emotional roller coaster. It was a crazy time. And so there were definitely moments where I wanted to give up. There were moments when I doubted, when I felt ridiculous standing up on the 10 meter with a big purple cast and my workout clothes pretending to dive. I'm trying to make the Olympic team and win the Olympics, and I'm over here pretending to dive. I'm not actually diving. I felt pretty dumb. And there were swimmers in the pool next to us that were making fun of me. And there were definitely moments where I just wanted to bag it and give up and walk away. Definitely those moments. But my team had been watching me for all of this time. Day in, day out, I showed up and I was there and I was doing whatever I could do. And I think they started to believe in what I was doing. So when I started to doubt, when I finally started to get that fatigue and I felt so alone in it, I realized I wasn't alone at all. This whole team I had, and they were anywhere from 8 to 18 years old, they were watching me. And they were cheering me on. I mean, I would do like a pretend entry in the water from 10 meter and they'd be like, I didn't see a drop of water. I'd give it a 10, you know, and they would clap and cheer. And, you know, they'd make me wait my turn in line if they were up there with me on 10 meter. They made me feel like I was part of something again, that I was part of practice, that I was part of this team, that I wasn't doing this alone anymore. That changed everything because that came at a very pivotal point close to the end where I just was shot and just wanted to walk away. And they didn't let me. Everything turned around at that point. You know, I got to go to the Olympic trials with a whopping 2.5 weeks of physical training under my belt, which, let me tell you, I've never felt so unprepared but prepared at the same time. It was a wild experience. And I was terrified of trials because I'd never been to an Olympic trials. And that's a very intense meet. But man, just what we went through just to get to the trials, it just washed away all the doubts and fears, you know. And I did pretty good at trials. I was consistent and ended up winning, making that Olympic team. When I look back at it, as special as the gold medal was, making that Olympic team at trials was often a bigger deal to me than winning the Olympics, because just getting to that pool, just getting my dives and doing them there, that was phenomenal. That was like a miracle. It was absolutely miraculous that we were able to do that. So if you find yourself in a tough moment, in a tough season, I'm going to challenge you to take a step back and look at the whole forest. Look at the big picture. Find things to be grateful for in the middle of the tough, in the middle of the painful, in the middle of the hard. There is something to be thankful for. Fill your mind with that and focus on those things. And from there, make a plan to go forward. One of the best things that my coach Kenny did for me is he said, all right, we're going to move forward with this new crazy plan, but I have one rule and it's don't look back. Don't ask what if, don't try to say, oh, if I hadn't broken my foot, you can't do that. It's over. It's done. We are moving forward with this new plan. So do that. Take a step back, be thankful, find that gratitude, make a new plan to go forward and let the past go. It's done. You can't change it. But what you do from now going forward is what you have control over. So do that with everything that you've got. And sometimes we will win that amazing gold medal and sometimes we'll miss it. I've been to 3 Olympic Games and did not win medals every time, but amazing things still happened because I didn't give up, because I kept going and I pushed forward and I found an opportunity in the obstacle. As we get closer to Paris, I have also found my old journals. And so I really want to share some of my old journal entries with you from those days and moments leading up to my Olympic gold medal win. There are some pretty incredible moments described in there, and I am just really excited to share them with you. Make sure you're subscribed or following Pursuit of Gold so that you don't miss any amazing upcoming episodes, getting everybody excited toward Paris. And if you enjoy this episode, please give us a 5-star review and share this episode with 2 of your friends. They will love you for it. It will help us grow and continue to bring you more resources, tools, and inspiration. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. This allows us to keep bringing on amazing guests, and it also helps other athletes to find this show. Make sure to check out the show notes to follow us on social media and learn more about our awesome guest. To hear all of our amazing episodes, head on over to thepursuitofgold.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Pursuit of Gold is proud to be a Podigy production. That's all for now. Make sure to tune back in next week.